Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer, where I hope to deliver insightful commentary from a Catholic perspective, bringing into the discussion science, faith, and spiritual health. Today, I'm going to be talking about Charlie Kirk and some of the insights from the various podcasts, radio shows, and TV shows out there, and even a meme that I saw that probably many of you saw too, where there's a picture of Saint Carlo Acutis and Saint Pierre Giorgio Frassati, and with halos over them, and in between them was Charlie Kirk with a halo over his head. Now, it got me to thinking that, wait a second, is he a Catholic? Is he eligible to be a Catholic saint or considered a martyr? And so these were some of my musings, and so I wanted to talk about that and also get into what is a martyr, what is what qualifies a person to be a, you know, full-fledged so-called card-carrying Catholic. But also I wanted to get into some of the reactions, that we've seen regarding Charlie Kirk, and what can we do about this as, you know, people of God, as Catholic Christians. I do want to mention before I go on with the program that, you know, I found out that St. Simon and Jude Parish in Westchester is actually going to be having a mass for peace in the face of evils. That's what it's entitled. And it's happening at 6:30 this evening at St. Simon and Jude Parish. And apparently they're having it. Again, it's a mass for peace in the face of evil. And the little flyer that I see, it said, like, what are we to do? And it says, you know, with all the happenings like the Annunciation Parish where, you know, the children were shot dead and all those injuries, the subway train incident where the woman was slaughtered and, you know, Charlie Kirk getting assassinated. So the questions that were asked on the flyer, like, what are we doing and what is our purpose? What direction are we heading? Who do we trust, you know, in this gut-wrenching darkness? And so after the Mass, there's going to be a gathering down below in the Meehan Center following Mass. And so hopefully, you know, this program will spark some interest as far as, you know, going to Mass and actually meeting with the various people and hearing, to answer some of these questions. And so with that, let me just start off with the Our Father prayer to bless our program. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, I wanted to, besides talking about Charlie Kirk and St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pierre Giorgio Frassati, I will also be bringing into the discussion, you know, two very important quotes where one, Jesus says that he did not come to bring peace into the world, and which may confuse people, okay? And so I wanted to get into that. And then the other thing is about if we say that, you know, if we're fearful, what should we do? And in Scripture it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So I wanted to get into that in the second half of our show, but also talk about how we are helping doing works of mercy by praying and giving consolation to those who are suffering. But also we have to know how people can be an accessory to sin And there's nine ways that the church gives us that people are becoming an accessory to sin, which then leads into the discussion, well, what is, you know, the deadly sins and what is the antidote for the deadly sins? So I'm getting pretty ambitious with what I'm hoping to talk about. But so let's first get into the first part where if any of you have seen that, I don't know if it was an AI pick or what, but I think it was because, again, you know, they have Charlie Kirk between the two saints. So I don't know who painted it or how it was created. I'm thinking it was AI. But anyway, so I wanted to bring up some points here. You know, like St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, we may forget real quickly because of all the different tragedies, you know, from recalling September 11th, September 10th was Charlie Kirk assassinated. But we may forget on September 7th was the canonization of these two young adults. Carlo Acutis was 15. And Pierre, I forget how old he was, but they're young men. And so they were raised to sainthood and they were canonized. And so the question is, you know, like when we know that somebody was martyred, the way the Catholics would look at it, as far as how we do things now, is that they would at least be, you know, blessed, right? So on one of my programs, I had Blessed Nicholas Conrad, who was the grandfather of Dr. George Isayu. Some of you may know Dr. George Isayu locally here in Philadelphia. That you may wonder, well, how is he the godson, the grandson of this blessed? And this blessed Nicholas Conrad was a priest. Okay, for Ukrainian priests, but they have, you know, their rite allows marriage. He was martyred, and he was shot point blank by the Russians, okay, or by the communists, I should say. And so, you know, he's a blessed because he was martyred directly for the faith, which then points to the question here, you know, do we call Charlie Kirk Catholic, and can we call him a martyr? I mean, this may seem technical, but it's also, we have to know the real definitions, the real meanings of words. Why? Because, you know, God is the Word and Jesus is the Word made flesh. So every word, thought, and deed that we have will be judged both ways. In other words, it would be judged whether it's good or bad. And the ultimate judge, of course, is God. And he knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows our words. He knows even the hair. Hi, this is Dr. Anton Raimundo here back on the air on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM. You're listening to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we're signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And we just had some technical difficulties, and I don't know exactly where we were disconnected. But what I will be talking about here is Carlo Acutis and Pier Frassati and how there's a small connection with them and Charlie Kirk. So, and then I wanted to get into Charlie Kirk as far as the meaning of his name. Was he a Catholic? Could he be considered a Catholic martyr, a Catholic saint even? And so so let's get into that, not knowing if I'm repeating myself from when I was, you know, disconnected here. I just didn't know about that, so it's my apologies. So if any of you saw his there was a meme of the three young men here, Carlo Acutis, Charlie Kirk, and Giorgio Frassati, and it seems to be like an AI-generated picture of all three of them with Charlie Kirk in the middle, and they had this halo on top of each of their heads. And we know for a fact that St. Carlo Acutis and St. Giorgio St. Pierre Giorgio Frassati, were canonized on the 7th of September. We may have forgotten that in light of all these different killings that's been happening, right? So, you know, with Charlie Kirk's assassination on the 10th, September 11th, you know, the commemoration of that happening, of that tragedy back in 2001. But also, you know, of all those different events that, not events, but tragedies that occurred, you know, around the news that we heard, like the ones here in York, Pennsylvania recently, where the 5 policemen were shot, 3 of them died, 2 of them are in critical illness. But and then also, you know, the Annunciation Parish out in Minnesota, and then, you know, of course, that innocent woman who was on the subway that was slaughtered. So all these things, and, you know, I don't know if you caught the message there at the beginning of the program, that St. Simon and Jude Parish will be having a mass this evening at 6:30 with a get-together after mass in the basement. It's called the Meehan Center, where they'll talk about, like, what are we going to do? What is our purpose? What direction are we headed? Who do we trust, you know, in this gut-wrenching darkness? And so we'll talk about this. And again, the name of this event after mass is called, well, it's the mass and then the event of discussion. It's called A Mass for Peace in the Face of Evil. And so the mass is at 6:30, and right after mass, downstairs, there will be this discussion there to help give us some direction and understanding. And so again, in this program, what I'm going to try to do is first talk about these three saints, these two saints, and then Charlie Kirk, to see, well, is he considered a Catholic martyr? Is he even considered Catholic? You know, anyone in heaven, you know, would be considered a saint, right? And we, and even in the scriptures, they talk about the people who are living, you know, as saints per se, but they're not like canonized in heaven. And you can think of it in this way, that we are, you know, saints in the making. And sometimes you can even tell when people are living that they're really living saints. Like when we have, you know, Padre Pio's feast days coming up on this Monday, September 22nd. And people knew, again, he was a living saint. Well, same with Mother Teresa, right? And also even Mother Angelica, she's not, you know, canonized or anything, but I would guess she might be in the process of sainthood, or at least I would hope so. Anyway, so there's that point in scripture when they do talk about the saints. Yes, that's like the, you know, in the present form, that the people, they're living like saints at this point. So you can see Peter and the apostles, right? And some of the other disciples, Mary Magdalene and so forth. So in one sense, yeah, Charlie was living a saintly life. And so what I was trying to say here with Charlie Kirk, you know, that his name Kirk really means church. And whereas the Saint Carlo Acutis, his first name Carlo, it means Charles. And so going back to the background of Charlie was that, you know, he was a Protestant and he had some misgivings about the Catholic Church. However, he was very influenced by his wife, Erica, who is Catholic, and he would go to mass with them. And he learned to pray the rosary even and appreciate the Blessed Mother to the point where he even talked about it on his podcast about how the Blessed Mother is. Even to how, you know, showing how important she is in our lives, and also as a, if you want to be a true feminist, then you would follow the Blessed Mother. And also that brings into mind the saint of the day yesterday, September 17th, was Saint Hildegard. He's also another person that you can emulate about what true feminism is. Another person, of course, is my favorite, being a Carmelite, would be St. Teresa of Avila. And so what I wanted to say here, so, you know, Charlie was a Christian. And, you know, according to the teachings of the church, that when you're baptized, that you are part of the body of Christ. And so you're part of the body of Christ, the church. But as far as being a full-fledged Catholic, we know that baptism is the gateway sacrament, that to be fully fledged Catholic, you have to have, you know, the first confession, first communion, and then at the same time, confirmation. And so we would then, you know, then so as far as Charlie, he's not Catholic per se, but I did find out that they have a priest friend. In fact, this priest friend who was with Erica on the road, on the Air Force Two, you know, he was, privately he was giving some instruction from what I understand from a good source who's friends with that priest, that from another priest who is friends with the priest, that, Charlie was getting some instructions about the faith. I don't know if it was formal instructions about the faith, but he was getting instructions, so who knows if he was, going to ever get OCIA, or what was called RCIA. We know that in a few days after the event, the plan was to meet with Father or Bishop Barron. So I don't know how, what that would have been like. Of course, we all wouldn't know because of his assassination. But, these are just some of the things about, Charlie Kirk regarding him being, Christian, part of the body of Christ, not a full-fledged Catholic. But here, let me read also to you what the term martyr would be. And martyr here, in the Catholic sense, it says, I'm reading from the Catholic Dictionary from Father Hardin, Modern Catholic Dictionary. It says, a martyr is a person who chooses to suffer, even to die, rather than renounce his or her faith or Christian principles. After the example of Christ, one does not resist one's persecutors when they use violence out of hatred or malice against Christ or his church or some revealed truth of the Catholic religion. And so, we know that Charlie Kirk was known as a conservative activist, a political activist, but also we know that he was, he would speak up about Christ, quote scriptures, and defend, the Christianity. So, he was both that. And so, God is great and God is merciful. And so we, we pray for him and his family, and also all those who are affected from the various other tragedies. What I also wanted to bring up now was how we, when we pray for people, such as Charlie and his wife, Erica, and his two children, that we are really doing works of mercy. And so when we, for instance, bodily works of mercy is like when we actually help bury the dead, right? So let's say you can't make it to the funeral, but you, you partake in whatever memorial services that would happen. So you are helping perform one of those corporal works of mercy, the seven works of mercy, whereas there's seven spiritual works of mercy. And one is that you are praying for the living and praying for the dead, such as, again, praying for Charlie and then praying for Erica and the two children. But also, we can't forget about how merciful God is, that there is a spiritual works of mercy about forgiving offenses willingly. So where you could admonish the sinner, you could forgive offenses willingly, and you can comfort the afflicted. So the shooter himself, right? So it's one sense to forgive offenses, and that may sound crazy, and may sound crazy to even pray for such a person. However, but think about what Jesus did on the cross. right? When he was on the cross, the first words he said, he spoke to his Father. But as he said this, everyone around can hear what he's saying, and everyone who reads scripture will know about it. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So literally, he's forgiving offenses willingly. He's doing this as a spiritual work of mercy and giving us an example that he was unjustly, unjustly accused of blasphemy and then had capital punishment for something he didn't do wrong at all. And so he was forgiving offenses willingly, and he was also bearing wrongs patiently. And so this is where he was praying for those who were living and forgiving them. And so we too should be able to follow God, Jesus, in this way. Since I'm already talking about the works of mercy, I did want to bring up already the fact of how can people be an accessory to another's sin. And so the Catholic Church teaches us there are 9 ways that a person can be an accessory to someone's sin. I'm going to say 9 of them here. One is by counsel. One is by command. The third is concealment. The fourth is consent. The fifth is the defense of the evil done. The sixth is partaking in another's sin. 7 is provoking another's sin. 8 is praise or flattery of another's sin. And 9 is by silence of another's sin. So think about when you hear or see on the radio, podcasts, the videos, YouTube, what have you, Instagram, the regular news or radio. Again, when you hear people actually defending the evil that is done, or by provoking or praising, by clapping or cheering, that would be an accessory to somebody's to the sin that's made. Like to cheer about some evil done, such as an assassination or murder, or to defend the evil, and we have to call it that what evil is done, that, you know, that is wrong to defend it as well. And then also to provoke more evil. And then the last thing, again, is silence. By not saying anything about it, by when you see the sin can happen and do nothing, you know, that one is silent with their words or actions. It makes me wonder. Now, I don't know the background about this, but I remember seeing that video about how somebody was showing that there's somebody on top of the building. And so I don't know what the person did with that knowledge. And then the other thing about the people getting texts, from the shooter, whether it was the person's roommate versus other friends, that what did they do? Were they praising? Were they silent? Were they consenting? Were they counseling? Were they giving advice? You see, so these are ways that we too have to watch out for, especially the silent parts where we don't say anything about it. We have that saying, see something, say something. Well, there is some wisdom in that we should be able to say, hey, there's someone up there that shouldn't be, or that looks suspicious, that doesn't look right. And who knows, that few seconds could have helped. And so this is, again, you can look this up, 9 ways of being an accessory to another's sin. And so I heard somewhere, I forget where, I thought it could possibly be a homily, that most of the sins, the majority of sins that people end up doing are sins of not commission, that we're partaking, but actually omission, that we don't help. We don't intervene. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour now, and so let's take a break, and then we'll come back shortly, and then we'll talk further about, you know, this with Charlie Kirk and spiritual warfare about the evil that has been done here. What can we do about it? Again, this is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And again, thank you for staying on with me, or if you're just joining us at the bottom of the program here, or midway through the program here, we were talking about Charlie Kirk and his journey, you know, as a Christian, as in the body of Christ, and how he had tendencies for the Catholic Church, and how he really gave up his life for God and defending the truth. And that's where I make the connection, because the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, you know, and so the life. And so he is the truth, and we know Charlie was defending the truth. And so we know that he is, we know that he was fighting for good, and the only one that's really good is God himself, as we know. So he was fighting for truth, goodness, and beauty. And the beauty of marriage, the beauty of truth, the beauty of life. And we will miss him, but at the same time, we have a mission to go on forward and to not be in fear of even despite all these terrible killings and crimes that are happening. And so I wanted to go and say like a few quotes from scripture here that's relevant to what happened, so we could learn from this. And this first quote I'm going to share is from the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 4. And it starts off by testing the spirits. He says, you know, to test the spirits. But then he then talks about in the next paragraph about that, you know, God is love. And that, and it ends in the chapter 4, where he says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. I'm going to stop right there. Some of you will say, well, wait, Dr. Anton, it's normal to be fearful. Yes, it is. There's a natural fear that we all have, and thanks be to God, we have that. So it's a mechanism in our bodies, the fight or flight response, right? That is so we can protect our own self from whatever that may harm us. So whether back in the day, you know, in caveman time or what have you, that to be protected from, you know, any predator. And I'm talking about animals, lions, tigers, and bears, and so forth. But also to protect us from, you know, the weather, the fire, you know, storms, and so forth. So, but here what I'm talking about when it says there is no fear in love, perfect love casts out fear. And so it goes on. It says, for fear has to do with punishment. And he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because, why? He says, because he first loves us. If anyone says, quote unquote, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. And so this is where, you know, many of us are, you know, with this happening of Charlie Kirk, may be scared now to talk out loud about freedom, about the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, that what's in our Constitution, but it's also written in our hearts, in it's natural law. In other words, that no matter what culture, no matter what age, that meaning what year or century, and also no matter what how old the person is, the truth is always the truth. It doesn't change with time. Okay, and so a very simplistic example is like arithmetic. I mean, some people already say, I don't want to hear about math. But I get you. I understand that. But just a simple thing, when we all went to grammar school, we learned, you know, arithmetic. And if we got something wrong, the teacher would explain it, right? And hopefully, because the teacher would explain, well, why does such and such, you know, 9 times 6 equals 54, or, you know, why does, you know, 2 plus 2 equals 4? We'll learn that. And otherwise, if we don't know the truth of that reality, we're all going to, you know, have problems, let's say, with finances or with money, or, you know, with daily living in that way, right? We don't get the right salary or buy something, you can get gypped and tricked. So the point is, like with the math, 2 plus 2 equals 4, no matter how old you are, no matter if it was at Jesus's time or currently, or, you know, 2000 years from now. So that truth doesn't change. So people can't vote that and say that, you know, 2 plus 2, I think it's equals 22, because if you put two together next to the other two, we'll say it's 22, and then voting that in and saying, yeah, we have a majority, you know, that it'll be 22, not 4. Well, the truth is, you can't vote truth. Truth is true no matter what. Even if 99 people will say it's 22, but it's really 4, and only one person says, no, this is 4. So the truth doesn't change with time. The truth always remains the same. And so in the same sense that if you go through any period of time, if you actually kill somebody, that no matter what race they are, no matter what religion they are, no matter, you know, how old they are, people invariably, now, you know, it's not apparently, but invariably, they would say this is wrong. So if you and if a person says, well, in this particular case, they think it was right to kill or assassinate Charlie Kirk, of course not. And that's why people are up in arms about this, because if you look at, you know, there's that golden rule, like, do unto others what you would have done unto yourself, right? Where if you won't like it, then why would you do that to them? So, you know, if you would just be killed for no good reason, or your best friend or your spouse or your child, of course you would think that's wrong. If they just said something or looked at you the wrong way, you would think that was senseless to do that. And it doesn't matter, again, what religion, what age, what culture, you know, what country, people just would know that. And the same thing would happen if somebody took something of yours that without asking or getting permission and just took it. And we would say that's wrong. In fact, we would call it a stealing. So my point here is I just named two of the commandments, commandment number 5, thou shalt not kill, and then commandment number 7, thou shalt not steal, that, you know, we, thanks be to God, God gave this to the Jews in the 10 commandments, which we inherited in our Judeo-Christian cult, life as Catholic Christians. We have the 10 commandments, but it's written in our hearts. That's the thing. So you don't even have to know the 10 commandments. You could be, you know, a native living in, let's say, like in the Philippines. I didn't know there were like pygmies of some sort there. My father used to go boar hunting with them, and he showed me pictures of them, that they wouldn't know what Christianity, they wouldn't know what Jesus Christ is, but they would know it'd be wrong to kill or take whatever is there without asking and kill somebody that they love or a friend. They would just know that. They wouldn't know the 10 commandments. It's a natural law. Just like there's there's a physical law about gravity, that what goes up falls down. You know, nobody had to be taught that. They can just see that's nature. And so in this scripture here, where I'm quoting from the first letter of John chapter 4, where it says that if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And I'm saying, why is these words important? Because, again, I said earlier that Jesus is the Word made flesh. God is the Word, and Jesus is the Word made flesh. And the opposite, though, is the devil is a murderer and a liar from the beginning, okay? And so he's going to twist words. The devil will twist words and change the meaning of words. Because, again, that's a direct contrast to God, who is the Word, and God is truth, and Jesus is truth incarnate and made flesh. And so the devil, what he wants people to do is to not know the real meanings of words. So that's why it causes confusion, such as the confusion, well, what is a male and what is a female? What is marriage and what is not marriage? You know, what is good and what is evil? And so these are basic, and what is life and what is, you know, death? These should be simple words, but what the devil wants to do is to change the meaning of the words, again, because he is a liar and a murderer from the start. And so if he can change the meaning of words, then people will have the view that they could kill. And then it gets to the point where that they believe there's no such thing as absolute truth, that there's relative truth. And if we have relative truth, meaning that this is my truth, you know, so I don't have to believe your truth, or what you think is good for you is not good for me, you know, that doesn't work. There's a really interesting podcast that Father Mike Schmidt just gave, and he talks about this. I urge you to go and watch it. I think it came out today or yesterday, but he talks about relative truth versus absolute truth. And you know, I just gave you that example about truth doesn't change with time, like with math. All right, but the relative truth with Father Mike Schmidt was then mentioning that if people follow relative truth, that, you know, this is what I believe, and so I don't have to follow what you believe, that, you know, marriage is this, or male is this, or female is that, and what's good to you is evil to me. Well, what turns out, if you follow that line of reasoning, that might makes right is one conclusion, such as that, you know, the law of Hammurabi, you know, the code of Hammurabi, where, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But you all know the saying that if people follow that, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth, then the world would be, you know, blind and toothless, essentially, right? And, you know, if you, again, follow it to its logical conclusion, it would show the absurdity of it. And so the other part is, if we have this relative truth that I can do anything I want to do and rules don't matter, so it's, I make the rules, it's my truth. Well, then at the same time, then it's, you know, besides, you know, that it's there gets to be a mob mentality, you know, that it's really what we call anarchy, that whatever the mob decides, that's what's going to be right. Well, again, you can have a mob like beating up people and saying, no, I hate math, and forevermore, 2 + 2 = 22. And that's how it goes. And we're going to vote that in and make it a law. Well, no, that's absolutely wrong. I mean, just taking something neutral like math with numbers, you can't change what's the truth of things. And so Father Mike Schmidt really gives something very succinct here to help us understand, you know, some of the evil consequences if we think that everything is relative. And then somebody may say out there, well, wait a second, Dr. Anton, you're saying that, well, didn't Jesus said, you know, something of the sort where, you know, if you don't like it, then don't do it to others. Well, that seems relative, doesn't it? Yeah, it kind of does. But one thing that people don't realize, Jesus also said, as if to refine it, just like for people who may think that's relative, like, well, my friend doesn't mind if I steal his stuff or take his stuff without asking. So I don't mind. Then people should mind if I take their stuff without asking, because my friend doesn't mind it and I don't mind it. Well, let's put your money where your mouth is, right? So the point was, Jesus raised the bar, so to speak. He basically says, do unto others, he's like, that I would do. Like, so it's kind of like that acronym, WWJD, what would Jesus do? So the point is, you know, a person may give that excuse among, let's say they're both thieves, and they don't mind stealing from others, so they don't care if if other people steal from them. But we all know there's even a saying that there's honor even among thieves, that when they steal from somebody, they don't really, or they're not supposed to steal from themselves. We see this in the movies, right? Like when there's some big bank heist and the robbers, they may be, you know, a gang of four or five, and they're like laughing it up, and they're all celebrating that they got the money. And then lo and behold, one of them starts killing off everybody else, and that one person left gets the loot. They all know that's wrong. You see, so there's even honor among thieves. So Jesus spells it out that, you know, don't do what your brother or sister would do. Do what I would do. And so this is why I wanted to say here in this scripture, 1 John 4, the first letter of John chapter 4, where, again, it talks about testing spirits, you know, whether they're good or bad. And it talks about God is love. And again, it says that if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. So how can one say that, you know, he loves his brother and then kills another guy, you know? So it's a very twisted view on things. He says, St. John says, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And so this is where we you know, if we are scared, that we should run to God who is love, because this is where the scripture says, for there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So we should go to the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens is he will give us the confidence and the love, so to cast out all fear. Now, I want to go to another scripture verse in Matthew chapter 10 here, where I said that Jesus is quoted to say that, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, some people may misinterpret this, but did we know for a fact that Jesus carried a sword? We know that Peter did. In fact, he had two, right? And we know he did take a swing at one of the guards when they tried to arrest Jesus, right? And on Holy Thursday, when, you know, Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so Jesus said, you know, those who use the sword will die by the sword. So he warned so about the sword, but he still allowed Peter to carry swords, permitting that. But the point here is, we also know in Scripture when it says the word sword, that there is such thing as the sword of the Spirit. And so symbolically, this is what God is talking about, from what I understand. That it's, you know, the sword of the Spirit is the Bible or the Word of God. In this case, this is God himself speaking the Word. In fact, Jesus is the Word. And so he says, he has not come to bring peace, but a sword. He's come to bring the Word. Okay? And so this Word, what it does is cut through the facts. And from the facts, it will split things from what is the truth and what is not the truth, the lie. And so what will happen then when people have the truth and the untruth, it's going to cause division. And that's why it seems like there's no peace. However, once you distinguish what is right from wrong, then it gives the opportunity to bring unity. You see, just like when we were kids learning whatever we learned in grammar school, math, English, art, history, what have you. You know, once we know what the real answer was, then it brings unity, and then it will bring peace, but initially it won't. And so to follow this scripture verse here in Matthew 10, and this is where he calls the 12 apostles, he gives them a mission, and he says they're going to be persecuted, and he said, like, he warns them about, like, who should you really be scared of, and he talks about that, you know, he himself is not bringing peace, but a sword, right? Because what's going to happen when people are told that they're believing a lie, that those people will not have internal peace. And so what happens when you don't have internal peace, one thing is you can ignore it, you can deny it, right? Or you could just be angry about it and act out where you start hurting people. You hurt yourself or you hurt other people. And so Jesus says that he has come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. Now, let's take this into practicality. What happened in this shooter's household? There was a disagreement, wasn't there? And in fact, the father turned in his son, but it was, I don't know if it was a consensus that he agreed, because he ended up turning himself in, from what I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong. But then Jesus goes on here and says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Charlie Kirk lost his life, and it was for God's sake, for truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so Charlie did die in that sense, from my perspective, even though, yes, he was talking about, you know, conservatism, you know, ideology, you know, also defending marriage and the human sexuality is. And so, again, it's truth that we're, and it's fighting for what the real meaning of the words are, because Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah that all mankind has waited for and has come. So he is Christ. He is Christ the King. And so Right before this paragraph, I do want to highlight where Jesus himself, after selecting the 12 apostles, he does say, like, who should we fear, okay? And he says, it says, do not fear those who kill the body, all right? We've seen all these killings. Jesus is talking to us now. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So what this says, brothers and sisters, especially you who are Catholic, that we should not deny God. We should not deny we are Catholic. We should not deny Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Because it says here from Jesus himself that everyone who acknowledges me, meaning Jesus, before men, Jesus says, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus goes on again, but whoever denies me, meaning Jesus, whoever denies Jesus before men, Jesus will also deny before my heavenly, before my Father who is in heaven. And so this is what I love about Charlie Kirk. You know, he would directly defend Jesus, directly defend God. He really defend life. He defend marriage. And so this is why I'm also encouraging you all to do not fear, because perfect love casts out fear. And it means God is perfect. He is the one that will cast out fear. We should go to him. And I urge people, they can make it to Mass tonight at 6:30. And then afterwards go down into the Meehan Hall underneath the church in the basement there to share in people's concern and finding out what should we do. Hopefully with this program, I helped a little bit on what we should do. And what I showed you is scripture. Again, Matthew 10 and then 1 John 4 to look at that. I wanted to also just, you know, have you – and make sure you pray, because that is the best thing that we can do, is to be in touch with our Lord. And that's why I also, you know, started off by praying the Our Father with you all. And I want to make sure that, here's a quote from Charlie Kirk. Again, there's many things that you can look up about him and the legacy that he's bringing out. He's a real patriot. And trying to bring freedom. And he died with those words on his chest, freedom. And so here's one quote. He said, my prayer is very simple. God, use me for your will. So may we do God's will. So and follow this example of this great Christian man. He says, here's another quote. He says, if you believe in something, you need to have the courage to fight for those ideas. Not run away from them or try and silence them. Remember, I told you the 9 accessories to sin is to be silent. And so, you know, be loud and proud that we are Catholic Christians. We belong to the church that Jesus Christ himself founded. We don't belong to a denomination founded by man. We belong to the church that Jesus Christ founded himself. And so this is why we should continue to fight for God and his kingdom and fight for what's right, fight for what is true, what is good and beautiful. And the last quote I'll give you is that what Charlie Kirk said, what God wants for me is a life fighting for truth. So God bless you all. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. And I'm signing off from signed, sealed, and delivered. God bless you all.